Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. It is Friday, the 13th day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Coming up at the bottom of the next hour, a state representative here in Texas who authored the bill that has now passed the House to basically enforce the felony laws against the out-of-control, out-of-their-jurisdiction federal toilet attendant workers known as the TSA. It's about the level of training. A sworn peace officer can't stick their hands down your pants or grope your wife's breast, but these guys do, and now they're moving on to taking babies' diapers off. So Texas is moving, along with more than 20 other states, to enforce the law. I've asked lawyers on air, why, and district attorneys, why do we need a law if it's already illegal? And I've had district attorneys on record say, that's right, prosecute now. But we're going to be going over that big strike for liberty moving forward. Also, House GOP moves to defund naked body scanners. That will anger their Republican colleague who's making a lot of the money off of it, Mr. Chertoff, who mandated all of this. See, that's a big part of the police state. Not just is that the globalists want to control us and track us and violate all our rights so they can carry out their other looting and criminal activities. But also, we're talking about trillions and trillions and trillions. Well, it's over $3 trillion spent in the last 9 years post-9/11 domestically. In some cases, per city, I saw an $8 billion contract over 5 years in New York for the AI smart cameras tracking everybody. Saw a $2 billion federal grant for Boston. I mean, those are just the smart camera, spy camera systems. $2 million San Antonio, one elementary school for the spy cams in the cafeteria, AI tracking the behavior of the children and their eating habits. That was in AP 2 days ago. I mean, you start adding this up, it's over $3 trillion. That's what they admit in domestic cost. Internationally, the cost of the bin Laden attack is another $3 trillion. So $6 trillion, and I remember it came out, 4 or 5 years ago, one Halliburton tarp that would cost, they estimated $500 to put up a multi-person tarp tent, was $15 million. That makes $800 toilet seats at the Pentagon and $700 hammers look like good deals, doesn't it? So that's why this isn't going away. And it's the new economy and the majority of the new scholarships in the last 9 years. The biggest growth area is Homeland Security, data mining, spying, domestic spy degrees. I mean, that's the future of America. Not television sets and computers or even farming for that matter. The family farm is under assault. Federal government openly tells small farms and ranches, and the IRS does as well, get big or get out. And no, you can't work at the gas station or work at the prison or work at the power plant or work at the school, but then have 30 cows in your own farm and work on the weekend and then just use that to pay the local state property taxes. That's a hobby farm now. You can't write that off. It's got to make a profit. You're like, but it does make some money. And then allows us to pay the taxes. My family's in that position. And they just say, doesn't matter. Tax exemption gone. You will pay income tax on the tractor, on the fence post. You will lose your property. And we're going to raise your property taxes as well at the state level. That's the way it is. That's the way America works. And if you try to sell milk to your neighbors, SWAT teams. Year-long investigation, spying on the Amish to arrest some old Amish guy doing something legal. Oh, and I've got their new Copyright Act the Senate's trying to pass. No judge, no jury, no nothing. They just shut your website down, take it over. If some corporation says they want it. It's all coming up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we got Bob Chapman joining us to break down all the big developments in the economy, gold and silver, as the establishment of the big central banks openly dump billions and billions of paper onto the market in an attempt to hold down gold and silver. He'll be joining us in the first 30 minutes of the third hour. Jim Mars called me a few days ago after he heard Bugliosi live, the famous prosecutor with his JFK, Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone tome, and his statements that no one saw people shooting from the grassy knoll. No one saw people there. And it was just all over the news at the time that police witnessed it. The guy at the railway yard who later mysteriously died saw it. So I thought we'd get Jim Mars, who taught the first university-level course decades ago on the JFK assassination. And we have the Congress in their committee in the late 70s found a 95% chance that there were other people shooting due to acoustic recordings that were analyzed from the grassy knoll. So that's coming up with Jim Mars in the last 30 minutes. State Rep. David Simpson, who authored the bill to ban offensive grope downs in Texas, will be joining us as well, coming up at an hour and 22 minutes from now. I do want to open the phones up for first-time callers, and I noticed yesterday when I started going to some calls, I recognized some of the voices. We have millions of listeners. I love hearing from our regular callers, but people wait by the phone and speed dial when the phone system opens up, and we don't screen calls. And so I've always just done it that way, where you're not interrogated to get on. But then because we don't screen calls, that allows people that are waiting by their phones to tend to get in more than others that are trying. So if I talk to you and I recognize your voice, I'm going to have to hang up on you. Because I want to give people who've never been able to have a chance to get on air a chance to get in. And I'll be taking your phone calls starting at the bottom of this hour right through to the bottom of the next hour on this Open Line Friday. I guess we could use that ubiquitous talk radio term. The toll-free number to join us. Well, let me just read through some of the news headlines, and then I'm going to go back into them in more detail, and then I'll give the number up, because I want you to hear the issues and points that I think are important. Then we'll have open phones. You can bring up whatever issue you want, but it might be interesting if you comment on some of the news that I raise. Obviously, they've been trying to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi and bombing his different homes and government buildings and killing members of his family. And then telling us at the same time that they're not trying to kill him because that violates international law. This is just the standard government lies. I mean, even if you agree with trying to murder Gaddafi, it sets a very dangerous precedent to just have Skynet and the imperial drone aircraft circling the globe, killing whoever they want, whenever they want. And then when they rain down the 2,000-pound bombs, the Hellfire missiles, when the Reapers and the other aircraft drop their weapons, the Predators drop their weapons, saying this is not a military action, this is not a war, and this is not an assassination attempt. We are entering a very Orwellian zone right now where the system knows they're being caught in total lies and deception, and they want to be caught. They want to just set the precedent that they lie infinitum as a kleptocratic state owned by foreign corporations. They're going to do whatever they want. So we've got that. Russia warns West against Libyan scenario in Syria as the West and the U.S. Senate now begins to beat the drums to start bombardments of Syria to back the admittedly Western-funded Al-Qaeda Muslim Brotherhood groups in the South. And there's also reports Libyan group associated with Al-Qaeda meets with Obama officials and are given the official government endorsement to take over the new puppet dictatorship, Reuters reports. And Kurt Nemo's got a big boil-down article dealing with that. Headline, Libyan group associated with Al-Qaeda meets Obama officials, up on Infowars.com. Also, Jordanians protest for Palestinian right of return. That is just some of the news on that front that we're going to be going over more today. We've got the regularly scheduled, I see these every few weeks, articles from California, Massachusetts, Texas, you name it. If a student has a Bible in their bag, it's confiscated, but any other book is fine. It's all part of the political correctness that is really Soviet-style brainwashing. Here's one out of WWLP-TV. Controversy over child's flag drawing. And this is out of Orange, Massachusetts. And they were, I guess, having the kids draw pictures, then hang them on the wall. And he drew an American flag, and they said that could offend the illegal aliens. So it had to be taken down, reportedly. We also, again, have the good news with a state rep joining us on this front. Texas House bans offensive security pat-downs, but it's got to make its way now through the Senate. And the bill's chief sponsor, Republican Representative David Simpson, said this has to do with dignity and travel and prohibiting indecent groping searches. And it's all about a power grab. I mean, just 6 months ago, it was padding on the outside. Then a month later, it was squeezing. I mean, almost lifting men and women off the ground. Let me see if those are genitals. Squeezing them. This is incredible. Then it was in the pants. Then it was in the underwear. Then it was grabbing, not changing the gloves. I mean, this is amazing. A doctor did this, they would lose their license. I mean, even if you went to a doctor, agreed for them to check for a hernia or whatever and grab the male genitalia and have you cough, if the doctor didn't change gloves, and that could be documented, medical license gone, boom. But power tripping, I've been seeing the different photos and videos of TSA bugging their eyes out. The photo out of CBS News, out of DFW, has this image of the TSA guy with his gloves. We'll put it up on screen. There it is. And he just has this arrogant look. And then I saw these photos of police in New York on alert with big dark circles around their eyes, devil tats on their forearms, just bugging their eyes out, sticking their lower lip out, just looking at people. And I've been in New York. And years ago, this was going on, but it gets crazier and crazier. Any type of media event, they're there with German shepherds just posing and strutting around and bugging their eyes out at you. And I've even tried to say, hey, how you doing? They're just like, bleh. I mean, they just find people that love the power trip of strutting around with their M16 acting like terrorists are everywhere, as if a real terrorist pulled up with a truck bomb or with a gun, as if that guy's going to stop anything. I mean, it's just insane. But the same government then doesn't want people armed on college campuses so they can actually deal with a gunman. It's just incredible. Continuing along this line, big report out at prisonplanet.com. Control freak society, government to monitor school lunches with AI smart cameras. And we're going to go over some more of that report a little bit later, because here's the deal. Here's why I get so frustrated and start yelling and screaming on air in the past 4 or 5 days. It's because I see the prison being built. I see it being expanded. I witness the constant deception and corruption of governments worldwide run by the very same group of international corporations. I see the final countries that the globalists didn't control being overthrown and mopped up. And it doesn't mean those are even good countries or good leaders. The Serbs, sure, corrupt. That's government. Somehow they taught Americans since the 50s that government isn't corrupt and is good and you should trust it and give all your rights up. That's not that I think Iran's great or even Libya. The point is they weren't controlled by the globalists, and so they're being overthrown. And I remember seeing the federal grants to the states in the mid-90s for face scanning cameras, license plate reading cameras. The first states that had them put in the mid-90s were Texas and Indiana, where they were beta testing it, then California and New York. You would expect California and New York to be first, but it was Texas and Indiana. And I witnessed that, and I had the federal grants for hundreds of millions of dollars just in the initial funding. I had the federal grants and showed images of the federal grants, and then in my film Police State 2000 for microphones going in with shotgun mics that can listen to you at hundreds of feet away with AI, NSA software recording all the keywords and shifting through it. And then I would be interviewed by local TV or radio or national TV or radio. It happened across the board. And callers would laugh at me and hosts would laugh at me. And I would go down and protest TxDOT. I remember in 97 for putting in the spy cameras. And the spokesman for TxDOT came out and interviewed me. And he laughed at me and he said, "No, Alex, we're not surveilling you with the cameras. We're not watching you." And I said, "Wait a minute. Let's be clear. You, as the Texas Department of Transportation, aren't surveilling. But in the dual use, the Texas Department of Public Safety is under the federal grants." And the guy laughed and said, "You ought to be a lawyer." It doesn't take a lawyer to see the games they play. They always semantically deceive. It's like 2 days ago they announced, Pentagon funded, well, the article said federally funded grant, $2 million in a lunchroom to figure out what kids eat and what they don't eat, as if they couldn't have them fill out a survey or have somebody do a one-day survey and just observe what they were eating. No, it's a $2 million system to decide what kids will eat to, quote, save money. And then I went and looked the system up, and that's part of the use, but it's also behavioral analysis of the kids and to condition the kids to live under surveillance. But I already knew that when I saw it, that it was a DARPA test. But I went and looked it up, and sure enough, it was DARPA. Because DARPA heads all this up. DARPA heads up globally for the entire planet, except for the few countries they haven't taken over yet, a handful, the takeover chips and all the phones, which they now are telling you are in there, and the president will break in and the government will break in and take over whenever they want. And the new takeover chips and all the major appliances coming out, that's all announced. And CNN is telling you that this is happening, but I still get emails saying, "Alex, this is too much. I don't believe it." Well, here's another report today. DARPA's automated video surveillance will end public anonymity. The point I'm getting at here is that there is an infrastructure that is being standardized globally, and all the big mega corporations go along with it and actually lobby for it, because then they get the government contracts and your tax money to put these control systems in. So they're using our money to enslave us and control us, and they add all of this surveillance tech into the telecommunications infrastructure, the devices, the highway control systems, the banking system. They do all of this, and then we have to pay for it, and they pass the expenses on to us. But you remember the newscast going, "The highway cameras are not to watch you. They're only to control traffic." Remember the media denying years ago, the cell phones do not track where you are. The government cannot dial in and listen to you. That's conspiracy theorist. Now they just come out and admit it because they're secure in their control grid. They believe that they've incrementally gotten us to accept anything because they've got us way down the road debating torture and government groping our women and children. They've got us debating whether we should have any basic liberties. So now that's old hat. Yeah, they're watching us. But here's extreme tech. Why they're giving you the news and linking to the government announcements that this is just now happening. I've read MIT reports out of MIT Magazine where they were developing this stuff 40 years ago. This stuff has been rolled out for decades. Now it's being put in everywhere. DARPA's automated video surveillance will end public anonymity. Well, 10 years ago, Tampa, Florida had face scanning identity cameras up off of your driver's license photo with face prints. I mean, remember that? I remember more than a decade ago, headlines, Florida town runs license plate of everyone that drives through it. Texas town runs license plate of everyone that drives through it. California town. It's all wide open. To be in public is to be on camera. But most video footage is discarded, as only so much can be sorted and analyzed. Until now, DARPA has created a technology that can index and analyze video in real time, marking the end of anonymity in public places. And then this article says they're getting ready to roll it out. Oh, really? Like AP 2 days ago with the $2 million software system? And by the way, you don't think you're getting overcharged for that little Big Brother thing? I mean, even if you wanted the system, which I'll guarantee you that school board, you know, is getting lobbied to take the federal grant. Do you really think the software that analyzes what the kids are eating and doing really costs $2 million for some cameras over all of the lunch tables? And again, they make millions of dollars per lunchroom, $2 million in this case. The kids grow up being watched. Children are our future. And what are they doing? Learning to be frisk, learning to be interrogated, learning to have cameras in the bathrooms. Total control. In 2008, DARPA and the U.S. military's elite group of pocket protector warriors began soliciting the tech industry to develop technologies that would allow computers to sort through the index surveillance footage from military fleet of drones. Satellites. Just like they announced, 6 years ago that military satellites were from the Cold War being used to spy on ranchers. Oh, feeding it into Denver, Colorado, and the surrounding area in one case. Are you building a new barn that you weren't authorized under zoning to do? Ah, the local zoning board now has the taxpayer paid for Department of Defense satellites. And you see the same thing in England and in Europe and in Australia. Just type in Australian government using satellites to enforce zoning laws, to enforce environmental laws. See, this is the control. You pay for this to fight Al-Qaeda, to fight the Russians. It's for you. So the control freaks in government can sit up there on Mount Olympus like God or Odin up on his mountain, dispatching the SWAT teams. Go forward, Thor, and beat them into submission. Go forward, TSA. Stick your hand down their pants. Hammer them into submission. And it goes on to talk about how these systems are going in and how it can run through millions of different camera feeds, basically feed them into computers and track everywhere you go off of your face. This is old news, but new news to the slaves. Now, I want to get in to the latest at Fukushima and this incredible article out of Indiana, Court Rules No Fourth Amendment.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Is a pack of criminals studying psychological warfare, anthropology, sociology, on record, and figuring out ways to shut down all forms of independence, all forms of critical thinking, to basically turn us into a group of brainwashed, servile, soft drug addicts on prescription drugs, drooling and watching television sets. So reality can just pass us by while the New World Order builds its future grid. Okay, let me go ahead now and get into some of the other news, and then we're going to open the phones up. The toll-free number to join us today on this Friday edition is 1-800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Is the toll-free number to join us on this Friday edition. And we're having first-time callers today. And I want to give first-time callers a chance. 1-800-259-9031. So, again, there is some good news happening. We have House GOP moves to defund body scanners. And this is out of the Associated Press. This is the federal House of Representatives. House Republicans controlling the Transportation Security Administration purse strings are moving to cut off new funding for those advanced airport scanners that have sparked outrage over the revealing images of travelers' bodies. Now, see, it's a power grab, and it's a bridge too far. But why shouldn't they try it? By being so bold, other things that are out of control don't seem as bad. And they can continue to find cities and counties that will accept the body scanners. And they've got cops at the courthouses and sheriff's deputies that will follow orders and put you and your family through them until you sue them, like what happened again in Colorado. And then they said, okay, under 18, you don't have to because it violates child porn laws. We have to enforce the law against the government. The law is there for the government more than anybody else. Study history. Study the founding fathers. Study what they went through. The same stuff we're starting to go through, but in a low-tech version of it. So, very good news there. Draft legislation released yesterday by the Appropriations Homeland Security Subcommittee denies the Obama administration's 76 million request for an additional 275 of the scanners. They need to cut the funding for the upkeep of them. They need to, Congress needs to stand up and remove the stinking things. Stop letting the presidency be a dictatorship, which many travelers dislike because TSA employees can view full body images of travelers. And people say, well, then just opt out. Well, then they grope you. And then now they grope you on top of it in many cases. And it goes on. So you got to support the Republicans on that. You got to call the Republican chairman, Robert Aderholt of Alaska. And I want to try to get him on and say, good job. That's the right direction. And you got to support the Texas legislature. Good job on the producers getting the main sponsor of it, the head honcho of the legislation that's now passed the state house. Representative for District 7, David Simpson, is scheduled to be on with us in about an hour. And Texas House bans offensive security pat-downs. So there's the good news. Now, see, we've got to learn that when we fight back, we win all over the country. Just out in the city of Lago Vista, outside Austin, big bedroom community of Austin, they've now removed fluoride from their water. Why should the city of Lago Vista, was paying something like $50,000 a year? Austin pays over $1 million a year for the fluoride that's a toxic waste derivative. And, oh, it's just mind-blowing that we would pay for this, and they just removed it in Lago Vista. And I see reports every few days of big cities, small towns. San Diego's on the verge of not fluoridating. They've had a big fight over that. We can win when we get involved and keep pushing and pushing and pushing. You notice the globalists are like a dog you're playing tug of war with. They never want to give up because they realize once you learn that you can win, once we learn that we can win, once we realize what degenerate, openly criminal, openly arrogant. There's a reason if you go to the Austin City Council, even with top scientists and medical doctors and head toxicologists, and read to them even the, this happened a few months ago, the big AP headlines of the federal government saying cut the amount of fluoride in the water and that it does cause cancer. The mayor laughs. The laughing is a psychological warfare operation of degenerate scum to make you feel pathetic and to act like you don't have power when they're outrageously up there making you pay $1 million a year plus, I think there's something like $1,100,000. We've had fluoride action here in Austin in with the shitty documents they did 4 years to get. And they just laugh at you. Oh, you're here with top scientists that flew here to tell me how deadly it is. I'm going to laugh. No intellectual debate, no scientific research, just, you're a conspiracy theorist, ah ha, ha ha. But see, that doesn't work anymore. Call the scum's bluff. Call the scum's bluff. You know, good criminals, when they're robbing your house with a van, when they know you're out of town, they'll pull up like they're a moving company, they'll walk in a uniform. Even if they trip the alarm and the neighbor comes over, they say, oh, I'm trying to call them, they gave me the code, but it didn't work, and the neighbor's like, okay, thanks. Thanks, Ace Moving or whatever the fake sticker is. That's what government does. And the big corporations, they're just robbing us and, hey, we're wearing the moving company uniforms. They're hijackers of the society. So I gave you some of the good news, and I've got some other good news as well. Here's the bad news, and there's quite a bit of it. Court, no right to resist illegal cop entry into home. No right to resist illegal cop entry into the home. And it continues here. This is out of the Northwest Indiana Times, a big publication up there. And they have the excerpts of the court ruling. And it says, overturning a common law dating back to English Magna Carta, 1215. England's already done this as well. The Indiana Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Hoosiers have no right to resist unlawful police entry into their homes. So that means if somebody's dressed up like a fake cop, I can't stop them. Or I see this every few months in Austin, fake cops pulling over mainly good-looking women. And trying to shake them down. I mean, you know, pervs like to dress up in uniforms and actually become cops, criminology shows, but also they like to say they're cops if they can't jump through the hoops to become one. Not saying all cops are pervs, but, you know, that's where the criminals go. I mean, it's admitted in criminology. Most people that are working at a YMCA with kids are not pervs, but statistically, there's a higher number because that's where the kids are at. School teachers, on average, aren't pervs. Much higher level of them are pervs than the general population because they want to be around children. Same thing with truancy officers. It's just off the chart. CPS workers, you're talking from numbers I've seen. I mean, it's close to half. They're the ones that can get away with it. They like to take the kids behind closed doors. Overturning a common law dating back to English Magna Carta of 1215, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Hoosiers have no right to resist unlawful police entry into their homes. In the decision, 3-2, Justice Stephen David, writing for the court, said if a police officer wants to enter a home for any reason or no reason at all, a homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the complete end of the Fourth Amendment. That is the complete end. Just the court ruled for any reason. They don't have to give a reason. You are going to let them in without warrants. There is no more probable cause. The probable cause is if you saw somebody with a knife to someone's throat, dragging them into a doorway, probable cause, kick the door in. Or the cop is walking by and he sees someone smoking a bong and exhaling the marijuana. He still wants to go ahead and call backup or whatever, but he can pretty much force his way in. That's not what they've ruled. I have the ruling. I just read you the quote in the decision. Any reason or no reason. And this is the same thing's happening in Europe. This is incredible. Justice Robert Rucker, a Gary native, and Justice Brent Dickerson, a Hobart native, dissented on the ruling, saying the court's decision runs afoul of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Gee, you think so? It goes on. In my view, the majority sweeps with far too broad a brush by essentially telling Indiana citizens that government agents may now enter their homes illegally. This is without the necessary and the necessity of a warrant. Consistent or extended circumstances, Rucker said, I disagree. And it goes on. And look, all over the country, they have federal grants to have warrantless blood-taking checkpoints. All over the country, they got federal grants and Pentagon grants to put cameras in schools. All over the country, they got federal grants to do all of this. It's federal grants to have anti-terror training for your local police. And then they go to the anti-terror training and they're given manuals that Ron Paul's evil, gun owners are evil, veterans are evil. That sounds crazy if you're a new listener. Just search Homeland Security says veterans number one threat and you'll get Fox News a week after we broke it. Now, there's that information. They're available for anybody who wants to look at it, to understand it, and to know what's happening. Now, why is this so bold? Because why shouldn't they try? Why shouldn't they try? If they never get punished for being tyrants, why shouldn't they do this? Now, I'll guarantee you, if there's enough of a ruckus over this and enough people speaking out and the police will abuse this now, that there'll be horror stories from it, that it's going to get reversed if we stand up to it and say no. But if we acquiesce, why not? We're just meat on the table. We're a steak on the table, as Albert Pike wrote in Morals and Dogma. And so what they're saying here is we can come in your house whenever we want. And under the federal grants from Dallas, Texas to Boston, Mass., I've seen articles in every major city in the country where they have something that started a decade ago under federal grants called knock and talk. And the cops come and knock, knock, knock on your door. It's almost always a middle class area. And they do it during the day, thinking that there's, you know, a woman, a housewife, they're running the house, they're running the affairs, And they come to the door, and this has been the Dallas Morning News breaking it down, and they ask, may I come in and inspect your guns? I want to talk to you about your firearms. And it's just about getting through that Fourth Amendment barrier, training cops and citizens and the media that it's normal to have a cop come into your house asking to come in and see your guns. Just like they have these highway checkpoints training you. All of this is acclimation. And then suddenly in Chicago, in Boston, in New York, in other cities, they go to houses and say, we're coming in with this knock and talk. We're coming in, whether you like it or not, we're going to look for guns. No warrant. So the point here is, and then I'm going to your phone calls, is there is a coordinated overall strategic effort across the board by the federal government, and the same things being duplicated and standardized in every other industrialized country, to break Magna Carta, break common law, and have police come into homes without warrants. Started with searching your car without warrants. Now downloading your laptop when you fly. Downloading your smartphone. It starts with having your kids be asked at school about your parents and to write essays about what's in mommy and daddy's medicine cabinet. This is a total conversion of our once free society to absolute, classical, bona fide, certified, high-tech tyranny. And that's why this radio show is exploding and growing so fast. Anybody who's researched basic history, law, common sense could do this radio show. That's what's so frustrating about this information, is that I'm supposedly one of the best people when it comes to knowledge and understanding of this, and it's so elementary. I mean, if the police, the ruling says for any reason, they don't even have to give a reason to anybody, want to come in your house, they can. I mean, let me read this. In the 3-2 decision, Justice Stephen David, writing for the court, said if an officer wants to enter a home for any reason, or no reason at all, a homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. Because under common law, if you got some lunatic without a warrant trying to bust down your door and they don't have probable cause, you can resist them with deadly force. See, cops only have the power a citizen has. But over time, now you see the states trying to get rid of sheriffs. They don't want an actual citizen empowered and deputized by the vote to deputize others. They want the bureaucrats to have it. See, cops are like, well, wait, citizens don't have the same power I do. Yes, we do. Well, see, now you're going to learn about real peace officers, the original sheriff going back over 1,000 years to that English, British system. Even that is being removed. Everything is being removed. The local authority of the school boards, everything's being removed. The police are being federalized. But if I see someone pistol whipping a woman, some thug with a stocking over their head, I, as a citizen, can go over and shoot them in the head. It's not just a citizen's arrest. It's a citizen's execution under the common law, under the Bill of Rights. I can go over to the person pistol whipping and assaulting the woman or the man, and I can tell them, get on the ground. And if they don't resist, I can arrest them. And it's like, ooh, a citizen's arrest. Well, what do you think it is? We, the people, create the state. The state allows counties to be formed as state jurisdictions under the state power of the people and their elected representatives. We then elect a sheriff, and we decide how to fund him and how many men and women he's going to have. We delegate because we're busy milking cows, we're busy working at factories, we're busy fixing cars, we're busy teaching school, we're busy putting braces on folks. We then, in complex societies, we delegate to our servants what they are to do to protect us and to enforce the laws that we put into place. That's why they have to have a warrant from a judge that we have elected. So he is held accountable if he starts writing up warrants that are illegitimate. That's one of the reasons we started the war with the British, was they were putting out these mass warrants to just search anybody they wanted that were just rubber stamps, like the rubber stamps they had to take blood at checkpoints. You had to go to a judge and say, here's the person, here's the things, here's the people, here's specifically what we're looking for, and we swear under oath that we have these witnesses, and this is what we're going after. And the judge says, this is a very grave warrant. You go back 200 years ago, it was a big deal to issue a warrant. And the constable, the sheriff, or his deputies would swear, yes, I swear, and they'd bring in witnesses. And they would say, witness? They didn't have secret informers then. Okay, witness, you're going to be called to the stand if this goes to trial. And you're going to be held in contempt and charged if you bear false witness and lie right now. It's called perjury. Do you understand that? Yes, I promise he's got a body in a trunk in his bedroom. Okay, I'm swearing out this warrant to search that premises. It's issued, then they go. Do you realize how big a deal it is to have a Supreme Court of a state say, we don't have to have nothing? That is the essence, the spirit, the heart, the blood of tyranny. We'll be right back with your phone call. Stay with me. Indiana also just ruled that the SWAT teams no longer have to get the judge to check off on a no-knock entry. So now when they come to serve you a warrant for unpaid parking tickets, they're going to kick the door down, they're going to search everything, they're going to turn the whole thing over. What this tells you, what this basically telegraphs, this is happening all over the country, is we've got real hardcore criminals in government who are despots and who know exactly what they're doing. And they know they've stole us blind. We're going into a bottomless depression. They know it's going to get rough, and they're going to try to ride this out with secret police, the whole nine yards. And they are hiring, I see a lot of cops now that look like they're on drugs. You can tell they're on steroids, huge black circles around their eyes. They look crazy. I mean, even if you were put on duty walking around with an M16 in New York, you would be nice and friendly, but just professional. You see these cops, they look like lunatics. I mean, that's the last person. If I called somebody in for a job interview, say for private security in my office, and they had big black circles around their eyes and looked crazy, these are the last people that you would want to give power to. Everybody knows the folks that are all into being tough, and they like to watch Chuck Norris movies, and they think that they're the ultimate, you know, fighter, and then they actually get in a fight, and they got glass jaws, or they run and cower. I mean, you know, somebody who's really been in a lot of fights, somebody who's tough, is not looking for a fight, okay, and is not looking for trouble. But if you're looking for it, you come to the right place. You know, that's the attitude that these people have. Now, I said I'd go to your calls. To read the quote here by Justice Stephen David, writing for the court decision, he went on to say that a police officer wants to enter a home for any reason or no reason at all, a homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. And he went on to say, the wholesale abrogation of the historic right of a person to reasonably resist unlawful police entry into a dwelling is unwarranted and unnecessarily broad. That was in the dissenting decision. This is the second major Supreme Court decision in Indiana this week, including police entry into a home. And these state judges wouldn't have done this unless they are getting the word that the feds are going to go along with this. The feds are saying that unsworn officers can stick their hands down your pants. They're not even officers. They spy on everybody without warrants now. I mean, folks, I don't mean to belabor this. It's just they lie. They told you all the cameras were not for surveillance. Now they go, oopsie, they are, and they always were. Of course they were. Power grab. Our servants have gotten out of control. You see it a lot in examples in history. You also see it in the Iliad, where Ulysses has been gone for 20 years or whatever it was, and he comes back to his palace, to his home, and everybody's in there drinking his wine. They've bankrupted his wife. They've taken over. They're pushing his wife around, and they just tell him, hey, get out of here, punk, and he has to kill them all. I mean, it's the oldest story. I mean, I guarantee you, let's say you had $2 million in the bank, and you gave it to a manager, just pick from the general public to run your house and your business, and you're coming back in 10 years, and you do whatever you want. When you got back, they would have had lawyers change corporations over, no matter what your agreements were, and spend all your money, blow your business out if it was even there, and tell you, the locks are changed, get out of here, this is our business. Well, what do you think is going to happen when foreign banks come in and take over the government? I mean, of course, the sky's the limit. I'm going to remind you, 11 years ago, they declassified this last year, a secret agreement was signed with the VA to steal all death benefits of all U.S. service people. Now, look, those are crooks. And police and military, you work for crooks. Now, what are we going to do about it? Huh? Okay, we're criminal run. Let's own up to it.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, wide open phones in this hour. I haven't even gotten into the big fable. And I want to predict some things about Osama bin Laden and his death, his supposed latest killing. Coming up after I take some of your calls, we got a state rep joining us who's fighting the TSA successfully. A lot of exciting things happening. A really scary things going on with Fukushima. They've had multiple total meltdowns, partial meltdowns, more explosions. Now they're going to put up giant tents. That's been announced, so you can't see what's going on. But they've admitted it may go on for years. And the radiation is just piling up in the U.S. Just smoke coming across, building up. You see, it builds up. And I say it builds up, and so the Fed's answer is just raise the safe level of what they say we can be exposed to. See, these con artists drink their own Kool-Aid. They think they control reality by waving their magic. I was about to say something obnoxious. Let's go ahead and talk to Tate in Florida. You're on the air, Tate.
Hey, Alex. Thank you very much for taking my call. And I wanted to thank you for all of the hard work that you're doing in protecting America and her rights.
Well, let's get one thing clear. I'm not doing this because I'm a nice guy. I don't like being run by a bunch of criminal bullies. I'm doing this for me and my family. I realize if I'm going to be free, you got to be free. But the point is, at the end of the day, it's selfishness. Let's get that straight. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to. I have a question I'd like to get to in a little bit, but I've been listening to your show now for about 2 weeks, and it's completely changed. I've always kind of had a little bit of apprehension towards, obviously, the government and just what we're fed in general. The Osama bin Laden thing kind of awakened me, and it got me to start listening to your show. I can't even find myself. I find myself not even being able to watch TV anymore. I've been starting to read.
Oh, yeah. Once you're awake, it is a cartoonish level assault and will drive you crazy. I mean, you know, I mean, I that's why I'm so obnoxious, because I'm sick of this. I don't like this. I don't like having to focus on these rats all day and look at Chucky Schumer and look at Obama and look at Mr. Global Warming, Mr. New World Order, Newt Gingrich, and hear Republican talk show hosts talk about how conservative he is. The guy's about as conservative as Mao Zedong. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a joke. I mean, I can't even imagine what it must be like for you. Like I said, I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, and it really angers me. And I try not to get angry about it, but it's very frustrating. But basically, the question that I wanted to get to, and I wanted to call in yesterday with Dr. Pechenik, but I wasn't able to. He's a great American, and he's a great man. However, there's something that I just find odd. He claims, you know, he was working for four or five presidential administrations. He was working in for, you know, several decades in intelligence around the world for America in black ops. He says that he has still very good friends in the intelligence community around the world working for America, and he also says that, you know, Secretary Gates and General Petraeus are good men, and that he expects them to do well in their, you know, obviously Petraeus' new position as CIA director. What I just don't understand, he claims that these are good men, and I'm not saying that Pechenik's not a good man, but it seems like what they're doing is selling America down the river, that they know that they're doing it. They're working for black ops. They know that they're that they're putting up these false flag operations. They know that they're doing these things that are going to destroy America, and hardly any of them speak out. And I don't understand how it is, but it just seems inherently evil to me. It just seems like they are selling us out, and they know that they are, but they don't say anything
about
it.
What do you think? Look. This is a very complex question. I'm going to answer it when we come back. I appreciate your call. Great points, Tate. Then I'm going to get to Bill, Judy, Marty, Mitchell, and others. These are all wonderful points, and I'm going to try to simply and succinctly answer it on the other side. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Bill, Judy, Marty, Mitchell, Lance, others, your calls coming up. More on Ron Paul announcing this morning he is running for president. They're trying to demonize him because he pointed out, well, if they did kill bin Laden, this was illegal. It is illegal. Let's say bin Laden is the greatest demon on earth. Let's say he did 9/11 for the sake of debate. We need to have a trial so the facts come out. Trials are also investigations. Out of a lot of criminal trials, other prosecutions come. See, when the system doesn't want a trial, they're hiding something. When the system wants to torture people, it's because they want fake confessions. That's the only reason torture pays off, and every historian, every military expert will tell you that. I know that's why you've heard it a million times. Torture's no good except for false confessions. And so Ron Paul doesn't play politics. He tells you what he really believes. He stands with the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So he didn't say, oh, I think it's great we killed him. He said, well, it broke the law. We should have picked him up and had a trial. Now, if he resisted, that's different. Now they say he didn't. If you're going to pick somebody up for trial and they try to kill you, well, then you kill them. But this is different. They do not want a trial. And again, people email me and say, now you're saying the fable's true. No, I'm saying for the sake of debate, Ron Paul is going along, you know, with the official narrative because he can't prove it one way or the other. I'll guarantee you that's his real position. And so he gets questioned and he says, look, it was illegal. Now, again, why do we have a trial? Because we learn from other societies how horrible it is when there isn't a trial. Because the system can just grab you. They set the precedent with some unpopular guy like bin Laden, and then it happens to you and yours. Just like the Indiana Supreme Court ruling, quote, a police officer can enter a home for any reason or no reason at all. The Fourth Amendment is dead, other judges in the dissenting opinion said. Justice Robert Rucker and Justice Dixon. They say this kills the Fourth Amendment. And then the other judge says, well, it is an ancient right to have a warrant, but it's gone. These judges are proud of themselves. But I'm digressing. I want to answer the last caller's question. It's just that don't you want a trial? Don't you want to have him publicly interrogated? Don't you not want to kill him so you can get intel? And if I don't get to it later, guys, remind me. I've got to get to this. I want to make a prediction now. Of the hundreds of thumb drives and the 8 hard drives and all of this garbage they supposedly found, you're going to see the same Pentagon-funded front group, Site Group and Intel Center, who've been caught putting out fake videos before on record. The media says, oh, they're totally independent. They get all the bin Laden videos. Don't want to ask, how do you get them? Why have you been caught faking them? You are now going to, in fact, last night I meant to do a video on this, a YouTube, but I didn't get around to it. I left early because I had some business I had to take care of, predicting that we're going to hear that bin Laden had a beef with Obama. That way Obama can make his campaign all about how Osama was after me, but Obama got him. And they're going to say, oh, look, the hard drives show the plan to carry out 9/11. Here's all the proof. And plans to nuke nuclear reactors. That's out today. I mean, I just know how these people work. I know them better than they know themselves because I study them so hard. They're just unconsciously running around engaging in their crimes. And sure enough, Osama bin Laden wanted to kill President Obama. Kind of like Saddam wanted to kill George Herbert Walker Bush. So George W. got even. Just a made-up story. So they can personalize it. So now Obama, who wasn't even in office 9 years ago when this happened, wasn't even in the federal government when this happened. Now this writes himself into the story, how he's this big hero and he's got Al-Qaeda after him. And, woo, they messed with Obama and you saw what happened. Oh, yeah. So I want to predict they're going to have the full 9/11 battle plan, how they did it, who they were, and it'll prove 9/11 isn't an inside job. Of course, the same government, not one, but two passports, fell magically. In fact, I've got to shoot a special report on this. Magically fell out of the aircraft and within 3 hours were found in two separate occasions by the FBI. Millions and millions. That's a conservative number. It looked like billions. I don't know. Tens of thousands of file cabinets blown wide open, paper everywhere, 5-6 feet deep of paper and dust, and magically, not one, but two passports, one of them undamaged, are found in the rubble. Total bedlam has broken loose. Absolute hell. Dead everywhere. Collapsed three giant towers. Feet of dust on the ground. Papers everywhere. And on the hijackers are their passports, and they go into the building, the fireball, and come out, and one of them unscathed, and then magically get picked up the first day. Now, if you believe that, ladies and gentlemen, you believe in unicorns, pixies, Easter bunnies, the Loch Ness Monster, the Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, Bigfoot, garden gnomes, Count Dracula, Frankenstein, I mean, zombies. It's not true. It's impossible. Oh, and of course, they got the passport at Flight 93, too, but the whole plane disappeared. It was blown up by F-16s firing sidewinders into it, and that even came out. I mean, it's just, I said I'd go to your calls, and I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I haven't even gotten to the last question of Tate, who I'll have to recap for folks that just joined us. But of the hair, lips, the admiral, I'll get to Bill, Judy, Marty, Michael, Lance. If the water doesn't rise over Bear Creek, that's a more politically correct way of saying that. I just can't handle it anymore. I'm living in the real world, folks. And then they found hijackers' bags out of all the bags that could get lost. One of the hijackers' bag with uniforms and admissions and photos and plans. And they found another car with all the plans in it. I mean, the evidence of the crime is the evidence of the frame-up. And then you get into all the other pieces of it. But you watch. They are going to release the plans for 9/11. Watch it. In fact, I have to go over a whole list of these. I wrote these down last night and then didn't even bring them to work today. I wrote like 20-plus points that I'm predicting they're going to bring out of this intelligence. And they're so arrogant, they're going to still bring it out even though I've called them on it. Mark my words. The battle plan for 9/11 will be released right before the election. Unless this show's gotten so big now that we ruin it for them. And we did ruin Bush rolling out bin Laden in 2004. Well, Madeleine Albright and others picked up on it. Okay, let me answer the question of Tate. And don't feel bad, callers. I got you on hold because look at all the time I'm spending answering Tate's question. It's a very important question. Almost forgot to get to it. That's how my brain is jumping around. Tate called in and he said, look, I'm sure Dr. Pechenik's a great guy, great patriot, but he's in black ops, overthrowing governments, doing all these things. You know, these guys have got to know that this overall system is evil. How can he say that Secretary Gates is good? How can he say Petraeus is good? I call it the buddy syndrome. Albert Speer, the German interior minister, Look up Albert Speer. Was he the, I forget his exact title. He was over all the architecture in Germany and infrastructure, but I believe it was interior minister. Look up Albert Speer, Nazi Germany, Nazi official. I want to, side issue. I want to make sure I'm factoided correctly on that. Said that, they asked him later, they said, why didn't you know that, that Hitler was a bad guy? And he said, when the devil's got his hand around you, patting you on the back, telling you how much he loves you, you don't recognize it's the devil. And they pulled up in the encyclopedia, chief architect. I know he was architect of the Reich, but at the end, he was also given, I believe it was interior minister, but minister of armaments. He was a bunch of stuff. Okay, thank you. But continuing, what Pechenik, this is such a complex issue because this goes to the very nature of good and evil. This goes to the very nature of black, white, and all those grays in between. The point is, it isn't about if Pechenik is some lily of the field or whether he's a dark Diablo. The issue is he is a high-powered insider coming out and saying 9/11 is an inside job, and he's coming out and saying the Bin Laden thing's fake, and he's been on record for almost 10 years with that, and he's been proven correct. Obviously, he is from that system. And so it's not a judgment about who he is. That's for God to decide. We don't know his whole history. His life's not an open book to us. And so, yes, when he's saying that Bush is horrible, Obama's horrible. He's saying George Herbert Walker Bush compared to them wouldn't carry out a 9/11. You know, he worked with George Bush. He says he admires him because he wasn't a narcissist and was secretive and liked to do things behind the scenes. He's worked a lot with Gates. He worked with him overthrowing the Soviets. Pechenik hates communists. He's proud of what he did. He was sitting there talking about, you know, the great work in Indonesia fighting communism. And his argument would be, well, the communists would kill even more, you know, if we didn't do what we did. That's the nature of fighting fire with fire. Don't look into the abyss lest you become the abyss. The point is, judging Pechenik one way or the other, he has courage, he's high-powered, he's an insider, he's here giving us intel, okay? So take the information for what it's worth and make your own decisions. You know, I had Vincent Bugliosi on. I don't agree with a lot of what he stands for. You understand that? We'll be right back. Here's my final point on Pechenik. The caller, Tate, earlier said, why don't Robert Gates and Petraeus come out and say 9/11 is an inside job if they're good guys like Pechenik saying? You know, for me, the totality of what Pechenik was talking about is dealing with Bin Laden and stage terror and future stage terror. It's a side issue that he thinks those guys were honorable because he worked with them and he was compartmentalized and saw that perspective. I mean, overall, it's a distraction from the issues. But then the caller said, well, why don't they go public? Well, here's Pechenik going public, and he's being criticized because he came from that corrupt system. And he's not completely attacking the entire system. So that's why a lot of folks don't ever come out of the New World Order or come out of this corrupt system, because they know they're not going to get a very friendly welcome once they do. It's kind of like you made your bed, now sleep in it. That's why it's very important in life to watch the decisions you make. Watch who you get in bed with, because there's a point of no return. And if you've done the right things in life and made the right decisions, doesn't mean you're perfect. It's a good feeling to be past the point of no return. And it's a mental illusion that there's a point of no return when it comes to going from evil to good. But Pechenik would argue he's proud of what he's done fighting communists, and that they were, you know, evil and wicked, and he had to, you know, fight dirty to defeat them. But you see how that attitude may get things done, but leads to where we are today. And I can have that academic discussion with him next time he's on. I'll bring that up to him. That will take your calls. You'll be able to call in and talk to him. Bill in Wisconsin, then Judy, Marty, Michael, Lance, everybody else. I'm going to start trying to get through these a little bit quicker now. Of course, you know I won't. But Bill in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Ditto across the board. I know you don't want to. I want to beat a dead horse. The thing I have a problem with, and I love all the information. The guy is he's a top spy master in intel and everything. And 98% of everything he said is just unbelievable. And then when he comes up at the very end and says that George H.W. Bush is a statesman, that's really where I start to question, like, what is his what are his actual motives? Is he the person out there trying to give you information and let you know this is what's going on? I mean,
well, my mother and my dad went with us to the beach to go fishing last weekend, and she said to me while we were sitting there, on the beach building sandcastles with the kids, what I already knew. Basically, the Brent Scrocoff, George Herbert Walker, George Shultz, James Baker group was sent in the last 2 years of the Bush administration to take over and to kind of kick the neocons out. Because the neocons at the time were writing editorials calling for a new 9/11. I mean, they were getting ready. And the establishment said, look, this is too out of control. You're discrediting our whole system. And so Pachinik is a manifestation of that older guard, basically going, look, it's false flag terror. The Bin Laden thing's fake. We're sick of it. The folks are incompetent that are in Washington, and it's almost the old guard's disdain for the more ham-fisted new guys. And so, yes, that was a message from the establishment, and that's what he said. He said, this is going to the White House. I want you to hear this. I want you to know, don't do the false flag. Don't start the new wars. We need to end these wars. We're going bankrupt. This is just more old guard that realize soft power and don't want to destroy the entire system. What do you think Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is? He's super high-powered in all those big elite groups. They realize that the people running the system are going to run it over a cliff. You know, the globalists have this idea of wrecking everything, and then they're going to get all the goodies. If they totally burn the whole system down, there's going to be nothing for anybody. But, Pachinik was a ground operator, but one of those guys that was a general who also was on the front lines, a jack of all trades, a Renaissance man, and he's proud of what he's done. I mean, he's one of those old Cold Warrior types. It's a different breed than just Chicago mafia and ballet dancers and their gay escorts and all the everybody prancing around. And it's not saying they're even good. The point is that it's powerful information. He's a big insider. So having Pachinik on isn't an endorsement of the Cold War. It isn't an endorsement. It's a window into things unseen. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand completely. I just want to say for new listeners out there who are just having a hard time swallowing all this, once you come to the realization that your birth certificate is traded online publicly, your blood being taken at birth for the UN. Once you come to this realization, it's very, very scary. But you have no choice once you're back in the corner. I mean, you gotta come out swinging. And I like to always say, you quote Mark Twain, "The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time." So once you get past that helpless feeling,
well said.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, Congress is moving to strip the EPA from its power grab, trying to shut down power plants all over the country. The U.S. Congress is also moving to cut the funding for future naked body scanners, $70+ million. That's happening at the federal level. Here's the headline. House GOP moves to defund body scanners. And more than 20 states are in the process or have already voted in one or more of their houses to enforce state law. In fact, I don't even know how we need a law if it's already illegal. I've had district attorneys on the outside of the pants, squeezing genitals is a misdemeanor, inside is a felony. I had the San Francisco DA on last year on this. But here's CBS TV out of DFW And it says, AP Austin, the Texas House passed a bill that would make it a criminal offense for public servants to inappropriately touch travelers during airport security pat-downs. Well, it's already illegal. I support the bill, but approved late Thursday night, the measure would make it illegal for anyone conducting searches to touch the, I'm sorry, I have to read this on air, folks, the anus, sexual organ, buttocks, or breast of another person, including through clothing. It also prohibits searches that would be offensive to a reasonable person. The bill's chief sponsor, Republican Representative David Simpson, big feather in his cap, this is the kind of governor we need, who said this has to do with dignity and travel and prohibiting indecent groping searches. See, a lot of even congressmen are going against this because their wives and kids are getting grabbed. Now, listen to this baloney. It goes on to say the law may be superseded by federal law. Where is the federal law to have this jurisdictional power grab and people sticking their hands down folks' pants? Representative Simpson, thank you for coming on with us, sir.
Well, glad to be with you, Alex.
I know you're in session. We've only got about 10 minutes with you. Tell us where this bill goes now, why you're doing it, what the bill does, why it's needed.
Well, last night, 94 legislators, along with me, who joint authored the bill and co-authored it, plus a large number voted and overwhelmingly in a voice vote to pass it on second reading. So today, this afternoon, we'll, God willing, we'll pass it on third reading, and then it'll go to the Senate, and I'm very hopeful that the measure will be passed there well as well, and then go to the governor. I am expecting his support on the bill. I've mentioned it to him a couple of times, and do not anticipate any opposition. In fact, it goes along well with the set-up campaign. This is a very reasonable to be fed up with people touching us, just innocent travelers in our private areas. And so we're just saying that, you know, the Fourth Amendment is should be enforced, and we're saying that it's, and here in Texas, that it's unreasonable to touch people on their private parts without probable cause as a condition of travel or as a condition of entering a public building such as the Capitol.
This is saying we're guilty until proven innocent. Have you seen the new video of the six-year-old with the woman's hand down her pants, of the one-year-old baby with them checking in the diaper? I mean, this is a joke.
It is. We've gone from, you know, prudent caution to ridiculous excess. So we're saying here in Texas, this is where we're drawing the line, and I am very hopeful that that it'll stop some of this nonsense.
What about enforcement? I mean, if this passes and becomes the law, are you going to have undercover state police sitting at Bergstrom? And if they see the groping of the genitals, because it's confirmed they squeeze to identify what it is, they make women go behind closed doors and remove menstrual pads. That's on record. I mean, this is like induction into a maximum security prison. What about enforcement? If this passes, how are we going to enforce this?
Well, first of all, I hope they'll change their instructions. There is no federal statute requiring this, to my knowledge. And so I think that's the first thing that'll change. And secondly, as far as enforcement, the Attorney General will have some jurisdiction, and I hope it doesn't have to be enforced. I hope they'll just stop it. It applies not only to the federal agents, but it also applies to our own DPS. And so it applies to anyone seeking access to public transportation or public buildings.
Well, it's amazing. Dealing with this and talking to DAs, isn't it already illegal for a sworn peace officer to stick their hands down somebody's pants or grab their genitals, say at a traffic stop, unless they see someone shove drugs or a gun that's an imminent threat in their pants? According to the DAs I've interviewed, Representative, it's already illegal. I mean, there's already statutes to charge police, so why not just go ahead and start enforcing the existing statutes? Or is this law just a further, you know, codifying common sense and trying to get the attention of the feds?
Well, it's certainly common sense. It's really something that we should be surprised that we've allowed this to go on so far. It is true. I mean, the DPS troopers can't do what these TSA people are doing. And, you know, I think they get away with it because we let them get away with it. And we just need to start saying no And this is the, but travelers don't have an option right now. And so this is, the states should stand up for their citizens and interpose when there's unreasonable searches. And this is a good place to start.
Well, let me expand to naked body scanners. Thank God there's a move in the House to cut their funding. People need to put pressure on the Senate now. But here in Texas, obviously, people need to call their state senators and say, look, we want this. We want this passed. We want this move to the head of the line in the legislature. But they, the TSA says, if you don't like a grope down, then go in the microwave oven scanners. I have sat there in multiple airports in California and other areas and witnessed them send women and children predominantly through scanners, and then they get the additional groping. And I know this has happened to Jesse Ventura in front of me, former governor of Minnesota. I know Ron Paul, a congressman, presidential candidate, has confirmed it's happened to him. After the scanners. So that's a red herring, and I'm sure they've tried to use that on you. Well, hey, if you don't like the groping, go through the scanners.
Well, that's right. I mean, they actually forced my son and my wife. They were standing in line to go through the metal detector, and they got there in plenty of time, and they told them that. But they said, well, you have to come. They forced them out of that line to go through the scanner, and my wife refused to. She's got some medical issues, and she didn't want any more radiation and or to be seen naked and all that. And so the only alternative is to be groped. And it's not a pat-down as a euphemism. It's a rub-down. They go up and down the inside of your legs twice, touching your groin area. They lift up your breast. They go on and pat them down. It's just excessive. And here's what really disturbed me as we were taking testimony on this. There was a young boy from Oklahoma and his mother who were separated in one of these searches, and this autistic boy, when he was being patted down, so-called, or groped, he started yelling, stranger danger, man on boy, and that brings out the real sense of it. If an autistic boy who's been taught to protect these areas can figure this out, why can't we see what we've done? We're taking away people's dignity, their privacy, and we're limiting their freedom. The government should keep us from harming one another. It shouldn't harm us. And it should protect our freedom, protect our dignity.
Absolutely. And for those that don't have disabled children, they have to train them especially about abuse, because that's who abusers target, because they're unable to articulate the abuse they've gone through as well. And that reminds me, Representative David Simpson from here in Texas, of the Bible verse, out of the mouths of babes. I mean, if an autistic child knows this is wrong, well, I mean, what about my children? I've trained them. Nobody touches you, not at school, not anybody. Even if extended family touches you, you tell me about it later. And then my children watch TV, they listen to the radio, they hear me, and they go, Daddy, are the men in uniforms going to touch me? And now it scares, it makes children fear police, does it not, Representative?
It does, and even representatives. I have one representative here who travels from El Paso every week, and they force him to either go through the scanner or to be groped. And he hurt his foot, so now they're shoving stuff down his calf and with to make sure he doesn't have a bomb.
Well, the message is we're all criminals unless you're the federal government. And then we see all this crime with the TSA, who goes through almost no screening. Sir, why do you, in closing, why do you think the feds and Chertoff, who made some of the money from this, why do you think they're attempting to do this? I mean, I see it as a federal power grab. What's the jurisdiction? And now the feds want to be at train stations, bus stations. They've run federal checkpoints with TSA-trained people. I mean, for me, this is a giant federal power grab. What's your view?
I can't speak to their motives. I mean, I think the issue with respect to protecting us from terrorists is important. But if we look back, where have the terrorists been stopped? They've been stopped by individuals exercising their self-defense. That's the first and foremost way to deal with people who harm us, is our own ability to defend ourselves and not the government. Many times they're, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes away. That's what we need to focus on. And we need to allow that.
Well, that's right. More and more, like with the Colorado case where the guy came in to shoot everybody in the church and the woman had the gun and killed him right there. In closing, taking this testimony, what can we do to make sure that this gets passed and Texas leads the way from tyranny back into liberty? Any other poignant stories that you took in testimony?
Well, first thing you do is you can call your senator, and it's better for the constituent to call their own senator and not just the whole host of them, although that's certainly welcome, too. And then to also contact the governor. We've had support for this bill and the other one that didn't get passed. It did die, sadly. I ran out of time. It was in calendars, but didn't make it to the floor to stop the naked body scanners. But we should request that that come back next term. And those are call, email, talk to your senator and to the governor. And we should work with other states. And I think, you know, we need to also try to get to the airport early, try to go through the metal detector, and then refuse to be groped. Refuse to go through the naked body scanner. Protect your dignity. Use other forms of travel. And we need, ultimately, the security needs to be done by individuals and turn it back to the free market. Let the airlines determine what's the best way to provide security. Some will do it one way, some will do it another. And eventually, the best would turn up.
Well, Representative, in closing, we know what common sense, what course we should take. And Benjamin Franklin said those that give up liberty for supposed security are going to get neither. Look, we have hundreds of thousands of deaths in cars, all these other, you have a better chance of dying from a bee sting than terrorism. The idea that the federal government could ever protect us from terrorists is asinine to begin with. And if they believe there's this big foreign terror threat, the profiling, you know, that, and it's not profiling of whole groups, it's profiling of the type of individuals that statistically are involved in this. And everybody knows it. And I just really want to thank you for joining us and Godspeed. But you are confident it's probably going to pass the Senate if we put pressure on them.
I think so. I have received very, very little. I mean, I only think of three people that have opposed this bill as far as people around Texas. There have been some that were hesitant to sign on to it until they saw how it was going, but I'm expecting overwhelmingly for the bill to pass out of the House today, and I do expect good support from the Senate and hopefully the signature of the governor. I thank you for this interview. I believe in a free press, and this is critical to solving problems in a peaceful way.
Absolutely. Please take this message to your colleagues in final closing, Representative. I want to thank you because I haven't been able to travel with my wife or three children for several years now because of the grope downs and now the scanners, and we want to be able to travel to places like Disney World. We want to be able to travel and show my children the nation's capital, but I will not have pot-bellied men and women sticking their hands down my children's pants. And so please, we pray that everybody support you and folks in other states to get our right to travel and dignity back. Representative David Simpson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you, sir. There you have it. You heard him. Almost total support, bipartisan. No one, almost no one, and I've seen the polls where over 90%+ are against the scanners and the grope downs. You've seen the polls. But when you watch the national news, you see no one who's against it. They will cut to an old lady, an old man, a young woman, a black guy, a white guy, and they'll say, I think it's good, keeping me safe. I think it's great. And then it turned out CNN did that, and it was a bunch of government bureaucrats they interviewed, not telling people that not only were they bureaucrats, they were prominent, well-known Obama officials and Bush officials, mid-level minions, but high-level. I mean, it's mind-blowing. And I've told the story that I'm going back to your calls, that I have a friend. I don't want to say too much or get him in trouble. I have a friend who is pretty high level at the Austin-Bergstrom Airport. I have several, actually. But this particular individual, One day, his brother, at least at the time, was one of the managers at Access TV. I don't want to go too far and then give him up because they'll figure it out. And this is 5 years ago. And they started the taking the shoes off and the questioning then. And he came in, and I was getting my equipment checked out to go do my show. And he said, wait, turn on News 8 Austin. And we said, okay. So they flipped to News 8 Austin. And he said, yeah, they were there for like 2 hours. They had to interview over 40 people to find one person who said, I love the new taking my shoes off, taking my belt off. I think it's great, keeps me safe. And he said, as part of his job, he had to sit there while all this was going on. And they went through more than 40 people. And finally, one old lady said, I think it's great. I love it. And he said he laughed to himself. And he and his brother were making like a $5 bet. And yeah, real funny guys. And the TV was on. And it came on. And there it was the old lady. And they were just laughing. But see, it's not funny. So that's what they do. That's how they distort reality. But we've got to call them on it. When you go to the city council and say, here's the government's own documents, here's the EPA admitting a sevenfold increase in bone cancer from one part per million sodium fluoride, here's all these cities removing it, and the mayor laughs at you, go, listen, this isn't funny, servant. Your laughing doesn't belittle me and put a label on me. I'm going to sue you personally for putting toxic stuff in the water and assaulting me if you don't remove it. And you know what? Even if you don't even win the suit at first, slap suit them. Slap a suit on them. Teach them. And then come back the next month. They're not going to be laughing. I mean, I want the city council of Austin. I want every one of them sued. You understand? And I don't have the time or energy. I can't do it all. Sue them. Sue them. They're assault.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
The point I was trying to get at is we got to call these people's bluff, okay? I mean, 99.9% of people were against the banker bailout in scientific polls. Barbara Boxer admitted she was getting 2,000-to-1 phone calls against it. But then the banks came in and said, we'll have martial law if you don't do this. They had O'Neill, the former Treasury Secretary before Snow, and, of course, it was Paulson on Bloomberg, say, we may need to round up these members of Congress that are doing this. They're the equivalent of Al-Qaeda. If you don't believe me, just search former Treasury Secretary, those against raising debt ceiling like Al-Qaeda. You can watch the Bloomberg video. I've played it two or three times. I'm not going to play it again. I know it sounds insane. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe they're sticking their hands down our pants. They're out of control. We've put up with so much now, it's becoming ridiculous. It's becoming a cartoon. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. I mean, the Supreme Court of Indiana has ruled there is no Fourth Amendment. I mean, I just read the article last hour. You can't make it up. The head judge in the deciding opinion, Stephen David, writing for the court, said, quote, if a police officer wants to enter a home for any reason or no reason at all, just we'll do whatever we want. A homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. Let me ask cops a question and these corrupt prosecutors. Do you really want to open this door, this Pandora's box? You know, every culture that's done this goes directly to hell in a handbasket. You think the foreign banks are robbing us now? You get rid of whatever checks and balances there are. Ooh, I mean, none of us are safe. Hey, cops, you know they're moving all over the world to take your pension funds that you paid into. They're calling it an entitlement. The IMF and World Bank, that's the front groups that control our Federal Reserve. In every country they take over, they're doing it in Ireland right now. They are taking the private pension funds, stuff that's 100% your money. All of you petty people, part of the petty power structure that slowly have been trained to violate folks' rights. Rights are trampled to steal and to enslave people. There's this attitude that, yeah, he's into all his rights. What a wimp. Talking about his rights. The rights are there for a reason. Humanity's been through this over and over again. Bob Chapman's coming up at 8 after. I'm going to hold him over when Jim Mars pops in with us. Jim called me up the other day, pretty upset about the Bugliosi thing, so I want to get him to counter. I'm just going to have them both on together because they're both interesting fellows. I'm sorry I hadn't got to more of your calls today. And I would go into overdrive, but I'm on international television after the show. Let's go ahead and talk to Judy in Michigan. Judy, thanks for holding. What's on your mind today?
First of all, I wanted to thank you and my boyfriend, Tim, from Michigan, that, search term Tim, that waking me up to how corrupt the government really is. It really made me pay attention. And I really think you should have won an Oscar for that search and seizure for the Fourth Amendment of the lunches. But the real reason I called was how, you can see right through the Obama thing how everybody's losing faith in him. So he came up with the birth certificate thing, which anybody could Photoshop a birth certificate.
And now there's a million documents in the hovel, in the rat hole. And it's going to be, 9/11 was carried out by him. Easter bunnies helped. Anything else, Judy? Great points.
Bin Laden, everybody knows that he was in the hospital for kidney problems.
10 years ago.
Yeah, and how could he have lived this long? So,
Ma'am, do not question Santa Claus, okay?
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Listen, I'm on record that they're going to... I even talked about it earlier in the week. We've got to dig up the clips, but I want to put an article out later today and a video on it. I'm on record saying that they would, in the thousands of different documents, now they're saying a million documents, use that to put out new fake disinfo and to bolster their fake 9/11 story. Now they're saying there's a million documents, a way to discredit, quote, bin Laden, and then hence any of the Islamic jihadis that the globalists don't control. They've now said they found porn in his lair. This is from a government caught putting out fake WMD documents, fake Gulf of Tonkin. It's just incredible. I mean, this is just going to get more and more insane. Because it doesn't matter if the bankers are robbing us. We can have the 10 minutes of hate right out of George Orwell, hating on Emmanuel Goldstein, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden. Michael in Florida, then Lance, Smedley. Got to get to Smedley. Tom and others. Go ahead, Michael. Michelle. Yeah. I can't even read that across the room. Sorry, Michelle.
That's okay. I've been watching you for about a month now, and I've been trying to tell my husband and my family about what's going on and Steve Bochenek, and I hate to bring it up after the other callers did, but my husband just saying, if he's really for real, why won't he do something about it? But I know you touched on that, and also...
Won't he do something about it? He's on my radio show. People always think that if you have been in a high-profile position, you have magical powers. I mean, I've got to brush my teeth every morning, and it doesn't magically happen on its own. I mean, what is Pechenik supposed to do? And Pechenik isn't probably perfect, all the things he's been involved in. So now he can't come out and tell us info? I mean, see what I'm saying?
I'm too, but I guess with these FEMA lists, and I looked it up, that they added 3 million more people in September of 2010. So, I mean, if we have an uprising and everybody's out in the streets, saying what the government's doing.
They can't get us all. Just like people say no to the body scanners, they're going to get removed. And they'll tell us there's no way, we're never going to remove them, because once they start to lose, then people will know they're not invincible. It's like a bully punches you, and you go ahead and punch them, and you see their nose break and blood spew out. A lot of times the bully cries and runs off, or at least they start figuring out, hey, this isn't a one-way street here. We're not just going to sit here and take it. If the globalists want to get physical and start trying to arrest people, it'll be the quickest way for them to go down. I don't want that to happen because it's going to be very bloody, very destructive, and could go badly for everybody. Plus, I'm on the top of the list, and you know what? If it goes that road, people just need to understand that the New World Order is going to fall.
My husband already said, if they're, and our neighbors around here, if they come to get our guns, they're not taking me off to a FEMA camp.
Well, remember, though, they won't say they're coming to get your guns. They'll say they're arresting half the folks on the block for child porn, or they're arresting people on the block for questioning, or they'll say that there's an outbreak of a disease, and then that's why they're picking you up. So remember, they're going to come claiming something else. These are deceivers. And they're not going to call it martial law. They're going to call it security and freedom. And they'll have a few thousand deaths from something and then say, we're going to be arresting those that have refused to be inoculated. And then that's basically how it'll work. And then they'll stage some shootouts and burning down houses that people are in to scare everybody. And then, you know, they'll have video of somebody on fire running out of their house and then put it on the news and say, you turn yourselves in or this is what's going to happen. And it's all an illusion. Remember that. It's all psych warfare. They can't stop us. They have no power. They're a joke. The military's waking up. Look, the biggest political contributions were from the military to Ron Paul last election. What is that? That's got to scare the globalist. And we get their internal documents, Judy. And the number one thing the globalists hate, these criminals, is the veterans and current military. They're trained. On average, they join for the right reasons. They haven't twisted them into these demon creatures like many of the police have been. So they are scared to death of the military because the military is ours. The military belongs to the Republic. The military has already made the right decision. Okay? So I want to fix things peacefully. The globalists want it to get hot. They're going to stomp me flatter than a pancake first, but that's what waters the tree.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Lance, Smedley, Tom, Paula, Steve, we've got Rob Chapman with us for the rest of the hour. Popping in with him in the last 20 minutes or so is going to be a man who needs no introduction, Jim Mars, whose book was the basis of the Oliver Stone film JFK. He heard live, he called me Tuesday, the famous prosecutor, Vincent Bugliosi, who's written the definitive whitewash on the JFK assassination. That's my view of it, because I've read some excerpts of it. And he just couldn't believe that Bugliosi was saying there's no evidence, absolutely none, that there was anybody behind the grassy knoll. No one said that. No one. Just amazing. So he's going to be popping in to counter a little bit of that and bring some balance here. But I'm glad to have Bob Chapman with us of theinternationalforecaster.com. Silver, of course, was $5 an ounce or less 10 years ago. Gold, 11 years ago, was $260 an ounce. It went above $1,550, and it dropped down quite a bit. Silver dropped down quite a bit, and then we saw it inch up a little bit this week and then get driven back down. And it's on record that they raised the margin calls to make it harder for the paper market to flourish, while at the same time, a lot of the elitist companies, and Bob can give you all the technicals on this, dumped billions and billions of dollars of paper silver into the market. And they had to do that because the shorts were coming up and they were in deep trouble and couldn't cover them. So you've seen a massive manipulation. But if you look at the 11-year graph, we put an 11-year silver graph and then an 11-year gold graph up, you'll notice that every year or two, they drive it down quite a bit, and then later it just races up even more. But overall, the graph is up, unabated. And clearly that's what's happening here, because you have global concerted devaluation of all major currencies, and gold and oil and other commodities are denominated in that. And so the laws of finance and economics show they will go up. The question is when. And there is the 10-year gold. So you see it almost up to 1600 a few weeks ago, and you see it dropping down, what the media calls, you know, a plunge in the market. Now, a plunge would be down to, say, 800. But no, it you know, plunged, I don't know, it looks like 50, 60 bucks there. Not a true plunge. And silver, the same type of movement on the graph. Silver moved up even faster than gold, so it plunged more than gold. But we'll put that graph back up. But anybody out there who isn't watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you can simply go to a search engine, put in 10-year gold graph, 10-year silver graph, and look in 08. See that big plunge in 08? Early 08,
But then a few months later, it starts its upward trend. See that big plunge in May of 06. It's almost always in May. Notice that plunge in May. Drop the May before that. Drop the May before that. Drop the May before that. And then look, we go to this May. Dropped again. So you can see that trend. The beginning of the summer is always a slow time. But breaking that down in other economic numbers that are coming in, the housing down, the consumer confidence down, unemployment up, food stamps now going over 45 million. And we've got the government-run media telling us the economy is wonderful and smoking hot right now. And gas prices, of course, surging. TheInternationalForecaster.com is Bob's great website. Bob, break down what's happening with gold and silver for us.
Well, what happened was that, first of all, there was no resistance of $50 on silver. And most of the people who owned silver in 1980, they're deceased now. And I'm sure those who did die, their families had sold off during the ensuing years. So there's no real overhang there. So what they did was they raised the margin requirements on the COMEX 5 out of 9 days. They'd never done that before. And the amount of money that you have to put up as collateral on each contract was raised from $9,500 to $21,600.
So this is open manipulation.
Open manipulation. So then the next step, that wasn't bad enough. Simultaneously, like some miracle, all of the big brokerage houses that do commodities, they all doubled the margin from there to 42,000. And all the little guys and the middle-sized guys in the market, ladies too, they get blown out. And so that means two things. It made the spike go down more radically from, say, 45 down to 32.5 in today, 33 close. But more importantly, there's no overhang in the market. Because everybody was wiped out. If they're doing anything, they might be rebuying at the levels that silver is at today. And I point out silver because that's where all the action was. That's what they wanted to kill by driving a stake through silver's heart, so to speak. And
by the way, I've sold nothing. I've sold no gold, no silver. Most of the stuff I bought was, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 in gold, $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 in silver. And if silver went down to $5 an ounce, which, of course, it won't, I wouldn't dump it because I know the laws of finance with dollar devaluation. It's all manipulation. Am I wrong in that in my gut I know it's only going to go up over time?
You're absolutely correct. In fact, I was a buyer at 46.29, and early next week I'm going to be a buyer again. And I just keep on buying because I don't care what the price is. I see silver up at $300 or $400, and I see gold at $7,900, $8,000, and I think it's going to go there. And I've been doing this for over 50 years, so I think I got a pretty good handle on it.
Well, I remember you 2 years ago saying it would go to $1,500 and people couldn't believe it. I remember you saying silver would go to $50 and people couldn't believe it, and it went right up to it. But it's this psychological trick they play where if you look at the 11-year graph, it's going up, up, up. You see those dips almost always, in fact, always in May. What is, not just this new manipulation and all the paper being dumped, but why does it always dip in May?
I think because it's the end of the selling season. The big selling seasons of the future of that year would be Christmas and the two Indian holidays, Diwali and the other one, I forget what it is. But there's big, big buying of gold and silver. And that usually starts in late August. And that's when the dealers put their, or manufacturers, put their orders in for gold and silver and other metals as well, so that they will have it on hand, and then they have to guess how many of this, that, and the other thing that they're manufacturing they need during the month of September. So you have a hiatus in manufacturing demand and holidays during the period from May through the end of August. So historically, there has been most of the time, a slowdown during that period.
So it's like beach towns that are dead in the winter, but you can't get a room in the summer. With gold generally, in fact, always, I've looked at 50-year graphs, early summer is horrible, warms up in late August, early September, races up. And so if you look at it year to year, it builds up and crests in the spring. Early summer or end of spring starts going down and then races back up in the fall. But overall, we're only going up in the mountain range. The media tries to focus on the seasonal dips and the manipulation dips. But in the aggregate, it's only moving up.
And that's right. And that's why you have to be a long-term investor and don't try to trade it. Since the last 11 years, nine major currencies versus the dollar, which is included. So you've got nine currencies, including the dollar, against gold and silver. For 11 years, every year, gold and silver have gone up over 20% on average versus those currencies.
Now, I'm a layman looking at this every morning and every evening, but reading Kitco and the other big sites. Clearly, correct me if I'm wrong, they're still in there manipulating, trying to drive it down further right now. And every time it starts rallying, you see them come in and manipulate it downward. Why are they so, I mean, A, is that happening? And B, why are they so scared of metals?
Well, gold in particular, silver because of the short position. Gold is a monetary metal. And there was a fight over the last 2.5 years between the dollar and gold, and very few people realize it. And gold won, hands down, as the only real money in the world. And that's why so many nations are buying gold right now. You got China, India, Russia, Brazil, Iran, Thailand, and Mexico just almost bought almost 100 tons here in the last couple
Massive.
Of months. And they say they're going to buy more.
University of Texas bought $500 million, then another billion last month. Institutions, the Chinese are gobbling it up.
So it tells you that gold's in a monetary institution.
And by the way, what does this mean, though? I'm sorry to interrupt. What does it mean that even during the dip, you saw institutions using that as an excuse to buy it? That means their actuaries show it's going up as well.
I think you're right about that. It's hard to find out exactly what each one is doing, but there's no question. There's major buyers in there. I mean, these are big, big guys, and they can take gold and silver up anytime they want. They just got to pick their spots. And so this is going to be an ongoing thing now. And I think what's happened, and, you know, this Forbes article here this week saying that within 5 years, Steve Forbes said, we'll be back on a gold standard. And he's an insider, so he probably got a good insight. And so if he's right, and I'm right, then what's going to happen is that all these governments that get rid of their gold by leasing or selling during the last 20 years are going to start accumulating again because they're going to have to put it behind their currency if, in fact, that's what's going to happen. And that is what's going to happen.
Let's break that down on the other side, look at other areas in the economy with Bob Chapman. Then with Bob Chapman riding shotgun, we're going to be joined by Jim Mars, one of the preeminent researchers on facts that prove the JFK operation was a inside government hit of John F. Kennedy. And why are we talking about it almost 50 years later? Because the system's trying to rewrite history right now. Stay with Bob Chapman is our guest. I'm going to jam in these phone callers, Lance, Smedley, Paula, Steve. So it'll just be a smorgasbord coming up in the next two segments, but I'm going to get to you. Now, because I want to hear what you have to say, we appreciate your calls, and then I feel guilty when I don't get to them. But there, I've complained for you. You don't have to complain. But going back to Bob Chapman, Bob, the big central banks want to create a new Ponzi scheme, a global currency, a global government. They're now admitting it. They're now offering that as a solution to all the problems that they generated. So for those that are new listeners, it's now admitted the world government's real, run by the banking cartel, just like the old timers told you 50 years ago was the plan. So that's a foregone conclusion. The question is, what will it be backed in? Well, when you read the IMF and World Bank plans, the UN statements, Steve Forbes in Forbes, they're all saying that it's going to be gold-backed, or at least partially gold-backed. And obviously, that's because the globalists have been hoarding gold. Now, some then argue against a gold-backed currency because they've done that. Regardless of what your view is of what the currency should be based in, that's where things are moving. So, Bob Chapman, break it down for us.
Well, I think that in order to make any currency work, particularly at this time, because of the opposition to a non-backed currency by the BRIC countries, and for those of you who don't know, there's Russia and China and India and Iran and Brazil, and they certainly do not want to do a world currency. This has no backing, because they just saw what happened since August of 1971 to the U.S. dollar. So I don't see how they can have a currency and make people accept it without having gold. And if they've got piles of gold, who cares? You worry about the currency that you're going to be using, what you've got in hand. Also, you know, people say, well, suppose we get to the end of the trail here and gold's 8,000 and silver's 500, and then all we're going to do is change it for dollars. Well, they may be different dollars. And there's no rule that says that you have to exchange your money, exchange your gold and silver for dollars. You may barter it, or at the same time, you may keep it and do nothing with it. And so, you know, and another thing, we don't know what's coming down the road, really. We're all trying to back into what we think they will do.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
That's
to ask you.
That's what I think they will do. And incidentally...
Sorry, go ahead.
I just was going to say that the SDR, by the rules of the IMF, cannot be gold-backed. So it's not going to be an SDR unless they have an unbacked currency, and I don't think they'll do that.
Now, expanding on just the craziness, and we don't know what they're going to do next, what do you think of the whole bin Laden situation, the bin Laden killing?
Well, I don't think he was killed. He's dead long, you know, December of 01.
Come on, Bob. And, the government wouldn't lie.
Benazir Bhutto, her. Of course not. I know that, Alex. But I, you know, I have an opinion, even though the government might be mistaken. But anyway, Benazir Bhutto came out and said, look, this man's dead. And they whacked her 3 months later. So it must have been really, really important because she was an agent of the CIA and MI6.
And that's on record. But wait. I mean, our own media told us Benazir Bhutto hit her head. It was all over the news, and then video was released. They machine gunned her. But our government are such truthful people, they told us she hit her head. And so I say she hit her head, and the bin Laden killing last week is real, Bob.
Well, then I'm going to have to arrange for some incarceration for you.
I need electroshock therapy.
yes. Like they used to do in the 30s, which is horrible.
Bob, I mean, the government's lied to us over and over again and been caught lying. I mean, I think it's insane that you don't trust them. When people lie to you over and over again and have been caught committing every crime you can imagine, that means they're good people and you believe the next thing they tell you. You are a weirdo.
Well, you know, that's probably true, and I've been told that for a long, long time. But it's about probably 40 to 50% of the population that is waking up to the fact that these things that government does are not real.
No. They're not waking up. They're going insane like you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's insane.
And that's all over the world. Listen, I've got people writing to the SEC and the CFTC about the market rigging, and the letters are coming from Russia and Italy and all over the place. And I wonder what the two regulatory agents are thinking. These letters are coming from all over the world. I mean, they know what we're doing.
Well, no. This is a mass delusion. Ben Bernanke cares about us. The Federal Reserve are good people. Henry Paulson getting $200 million of his own bailout money that he directed from the Treasury. That's normal. And bin Laden was killed a week and a half ago. It's all true. And Obama cares about us. And the Supreme Court of Indiana getting rid of the Fourth Amendment is good. And if you like the Fourth Amendment, you're an extremist.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Bob Chapman riding a shotgun with us. I wish I could go into overdrive, but I got a TV interview I got to do after this. I want to get Bob up for a full hour next Friday. I was out last Friday. I want to have Jim Mars pop in just because he was listening live and wants to counter Vincent Bugliosi in his 1,100-page treatise on how nothing is true. You've heard from the conspiracy theorists, those that question lies, dealing with the killing of JFK. And I do want to jam in some calls as well. So this is going to be very fast moving. So everybody be ready for that. I want to thank the sponsors of today's broadcast. One of them, of course, is eFoodsDirect.com. Super high quality storable foods. They got a lot of specials running right now. You've got to go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to take advantage of these new specials. You can get a $300 free 10-day extreme emergency kit with a regular order. Just check it all out at eFoodsDirect.com or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or give them a call at 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. More important than even gold, ladies and gentlemen, is food and water filters and being somewhat self-sufficient if this entire economy implodes, which it looks like it's going towards. eFoodsDirect.com, 800-409-5633. Also, the National Inflation Association. You can sign up for free at inflation.us. The college education cartel sells their products using false and misleading statistics, including the myth that Americans with college degrees earn $1 million more in their lifetime than high school graduates without a college degree. This statistic is manipulated using many different methods. It ignores the 6 years of lost income college graduates could have made if they had been working at an entry-level job instead of attending college, as it considers GED recipients to be high school graduates, skewing the average income for high school graduates without college degrees down. This weekend, our friends at NIA are releasing the must-see documentary, The College Conspiracy. You can see it for free on their website, inflation.us, or sign up for the free newsletter there today. And finally, I'll do 2 hours, 2.5 hours, not plug my sponsors and then do them all at once. This is all such important information, folks. MySolarBackup.com, super high quality solar panel system. We've been promoting these for 4 years. Listeners love them. Get a free information packet by calling 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, or MySolarBackup.com. Check out these great affordable units today, mysolarbackup.com or 877-327-0365. The government scum doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so get involved today. Okay, now going to Jim Mars with Bob Chapman riding in the wings with us to comment and then your calls. Jim, we'll have you back up the next few weeks for a full hour interview. I'm glad you reached out to us. I'm flattered you listened to the show with Bugliosi, but Bugliosi, I was waiting for him to tell me that that JFK, you know, was killed that day flying a magic carpet. I mean, he just he was using the appeal to authority. Explain to people what the one trick pony Bugliosi does.
Well, that's the whole deal. Number one, he obviously doesn't even understand the full ramifications and all the details of the case. but yet he's an appeal to authority. Here's a guy prosecuted the Manson family, so, you know, whatever he says has got to be correct. So he'd just tell you anything, and people say, wow, Vincent Bugliosi said that. But I might point out that his 1,700-page book, which I refer to as The Doorstop, is the most remaindered book in publishing history. In other words, they sent back more than they ever sold. Number one, nobody can pour through the thing.
What's your proof of that?
That's what I was told by sources in the publishing industry. I mean, they have numbers for all of this stuff. But, Alex, this is how silly it all is. On page 1,142, Bugliosi gives us a three-page dialogue between a fictitious mafia figure he calls Vito and Jack Ruby. And he says, something like this would have had to take place. And so he says, Jack, I got a little job for you. The boys want you to whack Oswald, you know, silencing. And he says, well, gee, I don't know. I really have to do that, you know. How does a guy come up with clever thinking like that? Vito, forget about it, Jack. Anything for an old pal. Sounds like a bad Soprano script.
Okay, so what you're saying is Bugliosi had a lobotomized chimpanzee writing this.
Yeah, really. And then over here on page 422, he says, now here is to comprehend how that the one bullet could go through two guys, he said, I finally came up with this simple method. What I did was, this page 422, extend the palm and forefingers of your left hand, representing the human body, straight up perpendicular to the ground. Now, incline your hand backwards, that is to your left, illustrating the president leaning forward. Now, take your right index finger, keeping it straight, point it straightly downward, putting the tip against the palm of your open hand. The tip represents the descending bullet. Boy, how's that for some proof? You know, take your fingers and point them and move them around. I mean, this guy is too much. And yet he comes out and quite confidently says, yes, well, you know, we saw the case. It was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, let me stop you. How about, because, I mean, he has written a lot of best-selling books. He is a smart guy. He was very nice to me. He's right. A friendly fellow. He wanted to indict Bush on war crimes. So I agree with him on some issues, disagree on others. I think he genuinely believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. How about I try to get you guys on a radio debate?
Oh, man, I'm all for it. But I'll bet you a dime against a dollar he turns you down. Because, you know, I've followed him before, and he came out with his five absolute facts that prove Oswald did it, and I've shot down all five of them, okay? So I'll bet you he didn't do it, but I'm willing. I'll go for it. But keep in mind, we're dealing with somebody who is not really into rational debate. See, in a debate, one side presents their facts and evidence, and then their arguments, and the other side presents their facts and their evidence and their arguments. Bugliosi, his response to criticism is to call his opponents, and this is a partial list of names in his book, zanies, sillies, moonshine, silly buffs, conspiracy theorists, cuckoo birds, crackpots, nuts, and publicity seekers. You know, that's his rebuttal to contrary evidence and facts. Anyway, you're right. But here's what gets me. He is a smart person. That's why I cannot believe in the depths of my soul that he truly believes what he's writing, which means there must be some ulterior agenda. And I'm not about to address that because I have no idea what that might be.
Well, I want to bring Bob Chapman in, but then I want to address the heart of the matter. He would just, with these sweeping statements like, everyone knows the moon is made of onion, or everyone knows the moon is made out of bowling ball chips.
And when we all know it's made out of green cheese.
So what I'm saying exactly is just off the wall. He would say, that's ridiculous. No proof. No one saw shooters on the Knoll. And I start listing him. He's like, no. I mean, he... on record, how many witnesses saw the poof of smoke, saw the green pickup, saw the guys with the rifles, they picked the tramps up?
Dozens. But here's the two critical ones, okay? Kenny O'Donnell is one of his, of Kennedy's personal aides, okay? And Dave Powers. Dave Powers and Kenny O'Donnell, two of Kennedy's personal aides. And in Tip O'Neill's book, he went and talked with them, and they said, we saw smoke coming off the grassy knoll, and we both figured that there was somebody shooting from the grassy knoll. But the FBI told us that they didn't want to confuse the case, and they didn't want to cause any trouble, so we went along with that, and we didn't say anything about that. There you go, folks. Two of Kennedy's top aides said shots came from the Knoll. And then Bugliosi said...
But there are people that are in FBI reports. There are cases where it got in the reports.
Oh, absolutely. Gene Hill, who was right across the street, in her January 64 FBI report plainly states that there was a shot from the grassy knoll. She looked
but
up.
But here's Bugliosi. No, no one said it. And I said, well, wait, people said it, the guy at the train station. No, after the fact. And I'm like, he got killed right after it.
After the fact.
No, no proof. No one, no one, no one. You're like listing names.
After the fact.
Listen.
Hey,
I interviewed Grody.
Everything is after the fact, right?
Well, listen, I interviewed Grody, who ended up, he's 90-something years old now.
Oh,
I think
Paul Grody, the funeral home director.
I mean, that guy owns, you know, a big chain of giant funeral homes around Texas. At the time, he owned this one. And he came on my show first. He'd given a few newspaper interviews, but people like Bugliosi would similarly say, that's not real. They didn't talk to him. Well, it turns out he came to a Talk Fest event I was at with his son, and he told me, there with all the background talking and stuff, no, the FBI came. I had Lee Harvey Oswald's body. They put ink on it because they wanted that print to stick, and they rubbed it on it, and then they went and robbed it out of the crypt later. And then I said, well, come on the radio and do an interview. And he came and did the interview. And then I was coming to do another interview at his house, and somebody ran him off the road, and they said, and he almost died. And they said, we might not want to do the interviews now.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, listen, Paul Grody, he was the director there at Miller Funeral Home in Fort Worth, and I was just a few years after the assassination, like 3 or 4 years, I was police reporter there, and I got to know Grody. And we were good friends, and he was a very honest, down-to-earth guy, as I'm sure you realized after talking with him for a while.
Oh, he's an old-timer, solid as a rock.
Yeah.
A great Texan. That's why he did so well in business with funeral homes all over the state.
Yeah.
And there you were.
Hey, by the way, he also told me that the Secret Service came to him about a week after they buried Oswald. And they were asking him about scars on the body and marks and physical things like that. And then one of them remarked and said, you know, we really don't know who we have in that grave. Isn't that something?
Yeah, he told me that as well. And I remember people before I ran into him and then pulled it up and confirmed he was who he said he was and went out to his house and stuff. I had read people going, Mars makes that up in his book that the funeral home guy says it. No one says it. It's not true. What about the railway switcher station guy that was like 60 yards away, the switch station still there in the parking lot, who saw him bigger than Dallas with the weapon?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, that's interesting because when he was testifying to the Warren Commission, he got right to the point where he said, and something caught my eye down there at the corner of the fence, and it was probably the senator from Pennsylvania, the single bullet theory senator.
Specter, he was an aide at the time.
Specter, yeah, and he just says, well, were there a lot of people coming in later on? And he just directs him directly away from that, from what he was fixing
to say. And they said, wow, this aide is great. He came up with the magic Easter Bunny bullet and everything else. We're going to have to make him a senator. Let's get Bob Chapman's take on this and then take a few calls all over the map. Bob Chapman, I know that you're one of those insane people that questions who killed Kennedy. I think it's unreasonable.
Well, I think you're right. And I have a personal interest, not a professional one like Mr. Mars, but I knew the Kennedy family when I was young. I used to caddy for Joe Kennedy during the summer times at Oyster Harbor's Country Club when I was a teenager. So it interests me very much. I lived in Los Angeles for 36 years, and I knew people in the district attorney's office very, very well, because they were neighbors of mine in Malibu. And so I knew the reputation of Mr. Bugliosi, and he might have been very nice to you, but he's not very well liked.
Yeah, I don't think he liked me calling him Vincent Diablo Bugliosi the other day.
Well, he's arrogant, for one thing, and that bothers me.
Well, that's the know-it-all syndrome.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's all kinds of things that go on in DA's offices that never escape. And because of my relationship with people who work there, and some people who still work there.
Just stop. You're going to get us in trouble again, like the Ronnie thing and the...
All right.
I don't even want to go there. It's just... Bob Chapman. By the way, stuff Bob says sounds nuts, and then you go look it up. Everything he says historically, he was there. He did it. He did all these things. So he tells us he was caddying for the head of the Kennedy family. I believe it. I got to get you on, Bob, just sometime for all the stuff you've seen in your life. You've seen a lot of stuff.
That would be fun because a very unusual life. And I'm very happy about it because I've done things that nobody else has done. And it's been very exciting. I thank the Lord that I was given the opportunities that I was given.
By the way, I want to give listeners a chance to call Midas Resources and get a free hard copy or email copy of the latest International Forecaster. Comes out a couple times a week digitally and a few times a month hard copy. You can go to MidasResources.com and link through, or call 800-686-2237, 1-800-686-2237. And, of course, Jim, give us your website.
Well, oddly enough, it's jimmars.com.
Very odd.
And by the way, let me get in a plug here. Right now you'll see the old website, but I'm in the process of putting a whole new website. So everybody's listening. Give me, I don't know, a few weeks and get this new thing up, and I think you're going to be very impressed with what these people have come up with.
Well, Jim, we're impressed with you. We like you, not even the newfangled website.
Well, you know, and the same thing that Chapman said, let me put in my little self-plug here, too. Nothing I have written in general, okay? Now, there may be, everybody makes mistakes. So there may be a detail here or there. But nothing I've ever written has been proven to be wrong. In other words, I've only tried to tell the truth my entire life. And what gets me is that I'm still the conspiracy theorist, and yet the federal government, which has been caught in lie after lie after lie, and doubled on other lies, they still put something out, and the corporate mass media just runs with it like it's gospel.
No, they could can elephant poop and tell people that it was chocolate icing, and ABC, CBS, Fox reporters would open the can and eat it and feed it to their kids.
That's right, and I just don't quite understand that because I treat everybody the same. If you lied to me once, I can be pretty forgiving and think, well, maybe you made a mistake. If you lied to me twice, it raises my eyebrows. If you lied to me three or four times, that's it. I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Absolutely. Of course, the government, when don't they lie? When they tell the truth, it's like finding a four-leaf clover. A little Lucky Charms guy. All right, we'll be back. Take a few final phone calls. Well, again, I'd go into overdrive with Bob Chapman, Jim Mars, and all your calls. We're going to jam in a few calls here at the end. Bob Chapman, Lord willing, we'll have him for a full hour next week because I got a lot of other financial questions I want to get into with him. But your questions or comments for Bob Chapman and Jim Mars, just very briefly, Smedley in Oregon. Smedley, you're on the air like Smedley Butler. Welcome.
Hello, Alex. I just want to tell you thank you for having me on, and thank you for waking me up. And I just want to say that it's an honor and a privilege to speak to you and your listeners. You know, some people say that you scream too much and that you're abrasive, but I just want to tell you that I love you, and I can really tell that you sincerely love humanity, and that really comes
well,
through.
Well, I do, Smedley, but we're being gang raped by a bunch of demonic government and corporate filth. Of course I'm abrasive and angry. Okay, I mean, I want the people to wake up and rout these rats. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, you know, my fiance, she's a detective, and I want to say it's really been a process waking her up, and I've just found that the best way to do it is incrementally. And I would just like to add a couple of last comments, and I'll try to be as quick and
all right, go ahead. Yeah, we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Is just that I work in a public facility, and there used to be a guy that always came in passing out flyers and information on things like chemtrails and poisons, and I'll just say this guy is known as Crazy Dan. And how ironic is it that, you know, he'd talk about mind control on TV and all this stuff, and everyone just thought this guy's a lunatic, and how this guy, I'm just saying how ironic it is that everyone calls him Crazy Dan, and he's actually speaking more truth than anybody else. And lastly, I would just like to end is that your great guests that you have on. I've learned so much from them, and I would like to just request if you could ever have Naomi Wolf, and I love listening to Joel Skousen and also the doctor that used to be a former veterinarian that speaks about nutrition. And
okay, thank you, Smedley. We've tried to get Naomi Wolf on, and the last few times her phone keeps cutting out every time she set up for the show, and I don't know what's going on with that, but that's a good way to end it with a final comment from Jim Mars and then one from Bob Chapman is, this isn't working anymore, just calling people crazy if we don't buy whatever government tells us. And I think government has counted too long on being able to sell us that packaged elephant droppings and donkey droppings from the Democratic and Republican Party as apples. I mean, it's just, if we smell what they're putting in front of us, we're conspiracy theorists for questioning. And more Americans are going, you know what? I'm not going to eat what you're feeding me anymore. Comment on that, Jim Mars.
Yeah, going back to 1963, the year of the Kennedy assassination, the government had all the credibility they could have ever hoped for. If the government said something, if J. Edgar Hoover said something, then it was just gospel. That was the way it was. And they've lost it. And why have they lost it? Is it because the public suddenly woke up and said, well, I just don't think I believe them anymore? Uh-uh. They've lost it because they've squandered it. They've lied to us and lied to us and lied to us until even the dullest of us today go, I don't know if I really trust what the government's saying. And I think that's a terrible and egregious situation. And we've got to turn that around. We've got to put people into office that whether we agree with them or not, we can at least trust them.
Very well said. They have lost almost all credibility, and they're desperately trying to keep it right now. Final comments on that same front, Bob. Is the awakening in turbo drive?
Absolutely. We're breathing down their necks, and they don't know what to do. They're having to expedite their programs. Look at the two pieces of garbage they just put out about Bin Laden and the live birth certificate of live birth. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you would have to be just dumber than dumb to put that into general circulation in the media in America. You could see right through it.
Well, that's why they won't release the Bin Laden photo, because we proved so fast that the birth certificate was a fake. I thought it was on purpose. Maybe they are that arrogant. And now the White House says no more fake photos because they were fake before. Hey, guys, great job. Great job to the crew. See you back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. God bless.